Good morning, everyone. How you doing? Cool. Michelle is on the PowerPoint. Thank you, Michelle. Could you go back a few? All right, well, it's Dee and I are officially back working at the church full time. And we are so excited. God's been working our life over the last year, and he's brought us back here. And honestly, we're humbled, and we consider it a great privilege to be back here serving at CCC, and especially at this time where it is a time of transition. It's a bit of a time of uncertainty for the church, also for our community of Nichida, and we consider it a great privilege to be here helping to lead in such a time as this. So as you can see, we come back with one more. We actually never left. We were here the whole time. You guys, most of you know me. This is really for the benefit of those who are new. We come back with one more, and I may be a little bit biased, but I'm going to go ahead and say that that might be the sweetest little kid in the world. And I'm sure there's parents here who would disagree with me on that. One thing I'm sure we can all agree on is babies have an uncanny ability to find the most disgusting thing they can and stick it in their mouths. We've just come back from holiday in South Africa, and we were able to go to the game reserve. I suppose Americans and Europeans would say we were on safari. We just simply say we visited the game park, and the one morning we were outside having coffee, catching some winter sun. And Robbie was on the grass, and he was eating the grass, which is fairly harmless, I thought, so I left him to do that, and I turned around for literally a few seconds. Thankfully, his mother wasn't there at the time, but I turned back, and he had half a cigarette butt in his hand. You know, the wise old saying, what's worse than finding a worm in your apple? Finding half a worm in your apple. What's worse than finding a cigarette butt in your kid's hand? Finding half a cigarette butt in your baby's hand. So, anyway, we managed to dig it out and he survived. All of that to say that we are very happy to be back and looking forward to working with you guys and serving the church in the role of pastor. So, today I'm going to be talking about it takes a team, because we're not doing this on our own. The leaders are not here to do it on their own, and even the ministry leaders are not here to do it on their own. It takes a team. And I want to start off by telling you a story, and this is a true story. It's about two young teenage boys. Some of you may have heard this before. Many years ago, two teenage boys decided to attend a tent revival meeting. The first night they attended, they were impressed with the size of the crowd. They had never seen so many people gathered together. A big preacher was in town, and everyone had come to hear him talk. However, by the end of the night, the boys were angry and left as soon as they could. The one in particular, he did not like being told that he was lost and he was going to hell. He vowed that he was through with church and would never attend again. However, he was miserable that whole night and all of the next day too. And in his own words, he says he couldn't get there soon enough the next night, so he went back. The second night they arrived and they found the tent already full. They searched for seats but were unable to find any, and so they decided to leave and go home. On their way out, one of the ushers at the meeting stopped them, and he had seen all of this unfolding. He stopped them and asked if they were looking for a seat. They said they were. With no seats available in the main section, the main auditorium, he took them to the choir seating and found two seats for them there. And that night, at that meeting, Jesus met with those two young men, and they were saved. And one of those guys, some of you might know this, one of those guys is a man by the name of Billy Graham. You'll find that I'm an emotional guy, and for some reason I'm getting emotional right now. But that was in 1934, and over the last 60 to 70 years, Billy Graham has been one of the most influential men in the world. They estimate that he's preached the gospel to over 2 billion with a B, people. And that's how he came to know Jesus. And that usher, doing a simple task of finding seats for two boys, played an important role, a very important role, in 2 billion people hearing the gospel. And so, keep that in mind. As today, I'm going to talk about. Thank you very much, Michael. As today, I'm going to talk about. It takes a team. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Because I'm not great at reading, and my wife and I are a team, and today we're talking about team. I'm going to ask her to read it for me.
Given me a lot of verses to read, so bear with me.
Okay. Hang on a sec. Sorry, could we just stand up and I don't want you to fall asleep. It is a lot. So let's stand up for the reading of God's word.
1 Corinthians 12. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Verse 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have the gifts of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now let me show you a way of life that is the best of all.
Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Father God, thank you that we are free to come together and gather in your name in Thailand, Lord. And I pray that the words that I speak today would be from your mouth and pleasing to you, Father. I pray that your Holy Spirit will be working in every single heart today, Lord, and convicting where conviction needs to take place and stirring where hearts need to be stirred. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so that is quite a lot of verses for one sermon. You'll be pleased to know that I've promised Chris that we'll be done by 11, and you'll be out of here by then. In fact, Kathy Manico pretty much preached my entire message for me when she said, if you are breathing, you should be involved. And we could just say amen and go home and watch the highlights of the Olympics, but I'm not going to let you off that easily. So, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. We see in verse 1 that Paul's answering a question here that he's been asked regarding the Holy Spirit. And this is what he says about it. He says, regarding your question about the special abilities that the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. So other translations say, I don't want you to be ignorant. And basically what he's saying up front is it's important that you are aware of this. It's important that you know about the Holy Spirit and the role that the Holy Spirit plays and the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. And I think that's true for us as well. We need to understand the gifts of the Spirit, and we need to know about them and what that means for us. And he's written this kind of together, and it goes on to talk about the body of Christ, and this is the body of Christ, so what role that plays in the body of Christ. He goes on to say, you know that when you were pagans, sorry, that should have been up there for you while Dee was reading. Never mind. Okay. He goes on to say that, you know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So in other words, he's answering a question, and he's giving them a bit of background. He's saying it's important for you to know this, because previously you were easily caught up and swept away in things. And so you need to be able to discern. We have a responsibility to know when it's the Holy Spirit who's speaking through someone or another spirit who's speaking for, through someone. And how do you know, how many of you know that there are other spirits that speak and try and divert our attention? It's true in everyday life. And we have a responsibility, just as the Corinthians did, to know the difference, to discern whether it's the Holy Spirit or another spirit. And to not be easily caught up in any fad that comes along and swept along with that. And he goes on to say, also, nobody can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And that's not the ability to articulate those words, Jesus is Lord. That's to understand the sovereignty of God, to understand the kingdom and the lordship of Jesus, and then to be able to confess that. So, he starts off with in answering them just by stating how important it is that they fully understand, that they have a grounding in this so that they're not swept away. Okay. He goes on to say, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who works in all of us. And I want to draw from these verses 6 points, and they're not, it's not rocket science, they're pretty much all there, but I think these are very important for us. First one is that we're all different. God has given each one of us different abilities, different preferences, different strengths or weaknesses, different likes or dislikes. Additionally, he's given each of us different spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit gives each of us different spiritual gifts, and that makes for a great diversity amongst us. And that's a beautiful thing. I remember when I was in high school, I always wanted to be part of the worship band because, frankly, all of the girls spoke to the guys in the band, and I wanted a piece of that. Thankfully, I never pursued that, because if any of you have heard me sing, and hopefully none of you have, you'd know that that's not where I'm called to serve. It's a good way of emptying the church. But we have all been given different gifts. And I think it's human nature for us to look at other people and compare ourselves to other people. And often we'll compare an area that we're not strong with someone in an area where they are strong. And often we'll long for that, or we'll want what someone else has. But I think it's important that we embrace our differences. We embrace the different gifts that we've each been given, because God desires to use us within those. So point number one is that we're all different. I think it's important as well, there's no such thing as this is what a Christian looks like. This is how a Christian behaves or acts or says or does. There's not a mold that we all have to fit into. Our diversity is part of our beauty. Point number two is that the Holy Spirit is the source of these gifts. How many of you can say that you chose the abilities that you have? That you before birth went in and said, I'll have a bit of this? And of course not. None of us can say that. And therefore, none of us can really boast in our own ability, because it's not something that we've chosen. It's something that's been given to us. Now, of course, we work hard to make the most of that. But at the end of the day, the Holy Spirit is the source of every ability, every gift that we've been given. It comes from the Holy Spirit. Point number three is, with these gifts we've been given, there's different kinds of service. And when you walked in, Kirk's already made mention of it, when you walked in this morning, you saw all of the tables set up in the foyer. And those are advertising our different ministries. And those are different areas where you have the opportunity and the ability to serve, to use those gifts that you've been given and serve in a whole variety of different areas. I think it's important to note as well that it's not just in the church that we've been called to serve. Some of us have been given the opportunity or the platform to serve in this community as well. And I think it's important that in every area of life, in the church, definitely, in our community, in our jobs, a lot of you have been called here because of work, because of business. That's your platform. That's where God's placed you, and that's where He desires to use you. And He's given you the gifts and the abilities to be a witness within that sphere. So there's all these different opportunities to serve. And we were at the community activities fair yesterday. One of the great things that I saw was a number of our CCC ministry leaders and volunteers. They had their CCC shirts on, literally, and then they took those off and they went and put on other shirts and stood at other tables, and they were involved in more than just one thing. So there are many different kinds of service, and we're not all called to serve in the same way. Number four, in those many different kinds of service, we serve the same Lord. We all serve Jesus. Everything we do is for Jesus. At the end of the day, it's all about Jesus. So we're called to take those abilities to serve in many different ways, but to serve Jesus in everything that we do. Jesus is what ties us all together. I think it's important to remember as well that we're working for something that's bigger than ourselves. And it's important to remember that, I think, when things are going well. It's important to remember that when things are not going well. And we'll see that in the next couple of points. Point five is that God works in different ways. And Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything that you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." God works in different ways. Now, that He works in a variety of different ways, but He also works in ways that we wouldn't work. We serve a God who's able to take our failings and turn them into our strengths. We serve a God who's able to take areas that we have struggled in and use those to minister to other people who may be struggling in the same area. We serve a God who uses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise and the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God doesn't work how we would always think to do things. He doesn't always do things the way that we would. His ways are above our ways. We can never say that, oh no, God wouldn't do that, or God wouldn't do that, because, I mean, shouldn't say we can never say, because I suppose when it's outright sin, then we can say that. But when God is at work, we can't always see or understand what he's doing, but we know that he is always at work, and he is always working, and in many different ways. And then lastly, number six, it says, it is God that is the same God who does the work in all of us. And there's another translation, the ESV says that it's God who empowers us to do the work. We're not called to do this in our own strength. Thank goodness, because I think if we did try and serve in our own strength, we would all fail. And I think we've probably all actually experienced that before. Something I'd like to say is, as you are getting involved, hopefully we will all get involved in some area, as you are getting involved and as you are serving, if you find that it's too much for you, there's a very good chance you're working in your own strength. And I experienced that fairly early on when we were previously at the church and leading the youth. I felt like I was sinking a little bit, and I realized that everything I was doing was in my own strength. Every message I tried to prepare was with my own wisdom. I don't have that much, unfortunately. It ran out pretty quick. But if we come to that point, there's a good chance that you're doing things in your own strength. And we're not called to do that. We're not supposed to function like that. It's God who energizes us. It's God who empowers us. And it's God who does the work in us and through us. Our responsibility is to make ourselves available. And then it's God who does everything else. You'll see here that through these three verses, it speaks of one Spirit, one Lord, one God, the Trinity. One Spirit who gives us our gifts. One Lord, that's Jesus Christ, who's given us our mission and how we are to serve. And then one God who empowers us to do that. As we continue, Paul goes on. And from verse 7 to 11, he goes through an incomplete list of spiritual gifts. And I don't want to spend too much time on the actual list, but I want you to see how he's bookended that. He says, first of all, in verse 7, a spiritual gift is given to some of them. No. Spiritual gift is given to each of us. Why? So that we can help each other. And then at the end, he says, It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all of these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. God has given each person, every single one of us, the Holy Spirit has given us a spiritual gift. It's not a question of, have I been gifted? Has God called me to do something? Has he given me the ability to? He has. It's clear. It's very clear. God has given you that gift. Why has he given us these gifts? So that we can help each other. So, you've heard a couple of times, Kathy said it so well, that there's still areas to get involved. This is a very transient community. There's a lot of people that left at the end of last year, but a lot of new people have come, and that's fantastic, and that's something that we go through every year. Most people are here for a short amount of time, and Nichida is a pretty unique place like that, and so you'll find that there's actually not a lot of time to slowly work your way into something. If you're here, and a lot of you already know this, you really have to jump in. You can't take the time to work yourself. And the other thing that we've seen year after year after year is if you're not purposeful with where you invest your time from the beginning, it will get consumed with other things, because there are 1,025,000 things going on in this community. If you're not purposeful about where you invest that time, it will get taken up in other things. So we've been given these gifts to help each other. Let's be purposeful about doing that. Let's be purposeful about taking what God's given us and serving. And only by the grace and the strength of God will we be able to use those to help each other. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 Peter 4. If not, follow on the screen. First Peter 4, verse 10 and 11 says this. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well. Why? To serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. It says it again there. Do it with all the strength and energy, not of yourself, but that God supplies. So again, we're not called to do this in our own strength. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Okay. So just to, I think this is just backing up what I've already said, but just to reiterate is that we've been given these abilities to serve one another, to help each other, to serve one another. And it's God, and again, it says here that each of you, every single one of us has been given a gift. And it's our responsibility to make sure that we are using that for God's glory at the end of the day. All right. So Paul, up until this point, has been speaking about how we're all different and how we all have different abilities and different gifts and how we all have been given these different gifts. And now he brings it all together and he uses the analogy of the human body and he compares the body of Christ to the human body. And he says that we all have a part to play. We're all individuals, but all of our uniqueness comes together in the body of Christ. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we shall share the same Spirit. So a few points I want to make about the body of Christ quickly that I think are particularly relevant to us in our context is that this is, I believe the body of Christ is the global body of Christ. It's the community of believers around the world. That's the body of Christ. But at the same time, and that's pretty cool for us because here we're very diverse. We come from all corners of the globe, and we come together in this context. Even though we're from different countries, different cultures, different denominations, probably, they're very different backgrounds. We're all part of the same body. And we all come together here in our local body as well. So there's the global body, there's the local body. And I think that CCC is our local body of believers, body of Christ. And as we've already seen, we all have these different dynamics, and they all come together, and we all have a part to play in the body of Christ, in this local body. We all, every single one of you, if you're sitting here today, welcome to the new members, by the way. If you're sitting here today, you have a role to play in this local body. It's not bigger than anything you can handle, because as we've already said, it's God who gives you the power to do that, but he has got something for you to do. That's why he brought you here. So then Paul goes on to say what happens when things in the human body are not as they should be. He goes on to say, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? If as individuals, if you don't take up the part that God has for you to play, the role that God has for you to fill, the body can't function as it's designed to. So we are one. We're united by the Holy Spirit. We're baptized into one body by the Holy Spirit. We're united. And if we don't take up our responsibility, the whole body is affected, the whole church. We can't function as well as we could if we were all in this together, if we were all pulling together. At the same time, if I, as the foot, would rather be a hand, like I said in the beginning, often we desire the gifts that somebody else has, or we desire to do what somebody else is doing. If I said, I'm not going to stand up here and talk because I want to sing, this would still be done. Someone would still be up here talking, but I would miss out on the ability to serve God. And if you don't step into, you know, what God has for you, either because you're unsure or you don't want to, or because you're saying, I don't want to do that, I'd rather do something else, you miss out on the ability to serve, on the opportunity for God to work through you. And ultimately, somebody else will step in and cover it, but the body can't function as effectively as it would if you were doing what God has placed you in this place to do. Verse 18, is that still up there? Yeah. Verse 18, but our bodies have many different parts, and I've put this in bold, God has placed each part just where he wants it. Again, Kathy mentioned this earlier. You think you're here because business has transferred you here. Of course they have. But do you think that's outside of God's control or outside of God's will? Absolutely not. God has placed you here purposefully. He's brought you here with your uniqueness, with your abilities, with your spiritual gifts, and he's put you here with a purpose. That's not by chance. That's not by accident. God wants to use you here, and we need you here because he's given you gifts that we need here. And he's put you here so that you can serve here. Nichida needs the light of Jesus. The communities outside of Nichida, they need the light of Jesus. We have the incredible opportunity to be that light. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. So, again, he's just repeating that we need each other. If there was nobody sitting here today, my words would mean nothing. If that usher hadn't found a seat for two young men, I'm sure that God would have still worked in the lives of 2 billion people, but through those two guys sitting there, because of what one man did, what one usher did, taking the time, not letting them walk out, because of that, Billy Graham got saved. Well, because of Jesus, Billy Graham got saved, because that guy was obedient to what God was saying. We need each other in this body. We can't do it on our own. It's pointless. If you guys aren't here, if you guys aren't bringing people in, it doesn't matter what I have to say. It doesn't matter what, you know, I could get up here and deliver the best message in the history of the world. It doesn't matter. Okay. Let's jump down quickly to verse 25. I think we're already there. It says, this makes for harmony among the members, so that all members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. If one person in our congregation suffers, because we're one body, we suffer with them. If one person is honored, because we're one body, we're all glad with them. We rejoice. We're lifted up with them. That's what happens when we're working together in unity. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Again, we each have a part to play. We are Christ's body. I've gone too far, sorry. All right, this is not all on the screen, but I'm just going to read it here. This is verse 28 down to the end. It says, here are some of the parts that God has appointed for the church. First apostles, second prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have the gifts of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages. I don't think he's ranking those. I think he's just giving us a list, and it's not a complete list again. It says, here are some of the parts. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. Of course not. We don't all have all of the abilities, but we do all have some or one of the abilities. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. Okay, but now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. And that's my introduction. Now we get into the meat. No, I'm kidding. How many of you know what comes after 1 Corinthians 12? not a trick question. It's 1 Corinthians? Roger, love. This is the verse about love. This is, you know, when you think about love and what the Bible has to say about it, it's 1 Corinthians 13, right? What's the context that we've been called to serve? In what context are we called to work, to use our abilities? It's in the context of love. So Paul's saying, we're all different. Everybody has different abilities and different strengths. We're all of our strengths are brought together in one body so that we can serve together and so that we can help each other. That's the desire. That's how God's designed us as a body of believers. It takes a team. What's the context in which we should operate? It's love. So I'm going to leave you with two questions. Question number one is, what abilities has the Holy Spirit given you? What giftings has God given you? Question number one. Please think about it. Seriously, pray about it if you're not sure. Question number two, how are you going to use that? What are you going to do about it? How are you going to get involved? And again, if you're not sure, then ask God, and I guarantee you if you ask God, he'll give you a way to get involved. If a door's opening for you, that's probably because God's opening a door for you to get involved. If you've got something tugging on your heartstrings, you just can't get rid of it, it's probably God impressing on you that you need to do something. Go along with it. That's my encouragement to you. Go along with it and see what God does. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you have made us all so uniquely different, Lord. And I thank you that it is in our differences as we come together and work together that that's the strength, Father, and that's how you desire to use us, Lord. I pray that as the body of believers here at CCC, that we would grab hold of that, Lord, that every one of us would earnestly seek you and look to see what you have for us, Father, and then that we would step into that, Lord. Father, help us to never take our eyes off you. Help us to never try and do this in our own strength, Lord. Father God, I pray that you would bring a unity amongst this body that is a shining light to those around us, Lord. I pray that you would bring a unity that makes us so effective, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you have given us our mission in Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that it is you that empowers us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.